Santa Cruz here at 96.3 FM. We are broadcasting, we'll find out. Stay tuned. 3 hours of Civil Rights on the Streets with your host, Bad Rope Spear, Robert Morris, and special guests. We'll talk about that in a moment.
Friday nights, well downtown plays Russian roulette with you, that's right. I said downtown when you're brown on a Friday night plays Russian roulette with you, but not with a secondhand Saturday night special, nah. Downtown plays Russian roulette with a brand new SJPD revolver. One bullet for injustice, one bullet for intolerance, and one bullet for the self-hating sellout Latino capuleto that will never bust enough Mexicans, harass enough Chicanos, or beat the shit out of enough Cholos to feel equal to his Caucasian counterparts. You see, downtown when you're brown, Officer Lopez is hunting down Chicanos like the Terminator, hoping in vain that one day he may be able to wake up and scrub the brown out of downtown, or at the very least, out of his own skin. Downtown. Downtown when you're brown, the muffled sound of injustice is drowned out by the boom, boom, boom of tricked out Impalas and cherried out mini trucks, as the cat calls of oppression are heard up and down Santa Clara streets. And beautiful Latinos tread 5 or 6 deep in midnight blue Buick Rivieras with gold smokes and silver crucifix hanging for Rivera. And the town when you're brown on a Friday, all the signs say no cruising zone, but what they really mean is no fucking Mexican zone. To be, because SJPD will pull you over for being downtown and brown, and for no other reason, and you will find yourself at the corner of 27th and Santa Clara at a McDonald's parking lot, surrounded by 4 police cruisers, while 2 bigs in SWAT gear search your car illegally, and a 3rd one frisks you. And now I'm not talking about no pussy little frisk like you see in front of a club. I'm talking about a real motherfucking frisk like they do on cops, where they tell you to spread your legs, put your hands on the hood of the car, and they pat you down so good you think you're getting a hand job. And you know, if they don't find nothing on you, if they don't find nothing on you, for being brown in downtown. Someone's getting beat to a pulp by Billy Clubs in a back alley for being brown in downtown. Someone's getting shot for being brown in downtown. And everywhere, 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 that's what's going down for being brown in downtown.
And welcome to Free Radio Santa Cruz's Bathrobe Spears Broadsides. You're on the air with Robert Norris and with three guests who are stars in the production of Hair coming up next weekend. I like hair, so when I heard that there was some hair raising going on in town, I decided it was time to pull these stars into the studio. They do, however, have on all their clothes, unfortunately. Perhaps we could persuade them later to adopt a more professional thespian attitude here. But why don't you folks sign in so I don't screw up anybody's names. We'll see if your mic works too. So.
All right. Hi, I'm Tina, and my tribe name is Francesca. Uh-huh.
Hi, I'm Carrie Geiger, and my tribe name is Luna.
And I'm Tiffany Fulmer. My tribe name is Honey.
And how many are there in your tribe? And any of you may answer this.
I think 45.
Wow, and it's men and women.
Uh-huh. Yes. Yeah.
And you know what we can do if you want is we can pass it around. So this is a one weekend production of here coming up at the Rio next weekend. We're not supposed to do commercials on here, so this is not a commercial. This is a social exploration of the festivities. I think here was a significant production when it came out in the 60s. I don't know if you can make it. I think it's still significant. Maybe it's just because I'm a nostalgia buff, but I think we can make it significant now as we have a kind of a administration based on war and an ongoing blank check to go to war passed by the Congress in the so-called Patriot Act and other appropriations for the military. Is there a political flavor to your production of Hair at all?
I would think, yeah, definitely. There definitely is. A lot of the people in the tribe are, feel very vehemently about what's going on in Afghanistan and about the war against terrorism, and I think that they're going to use that as a political platform, definitely.
I know Ed Levy, who's directing the play. I've been friends with him for a long time, and he purposefully is doing this play at this time because of his feelings politically about what's going on with all the war. He's purposefully doing an anti-war play, and I know that he's bringing in images and things that tie it into more current-day themes on purpose. He's doing that. Mm-hmm. So, yeah.
And you, Tina, what do you think?
Well, yeah, when the play came out at the time, it was a political tool, I think, to voice, people's opinions against the war and against everything that was going on. And this show, like Tiffany said, does have a lot of elements that are relating to what's going on right now politically. And I think it's going to be really, really interesting. We're having a lot of fun with it, and we're just going to get out there and bring out the message and see what people, how people, you know, whether they like it or whether they don't. I'm sure it's going to touch some kind of nerve.
But it's going to cost money, right? I mean, this isn't for the homeless people who are listening to my show. They can't come into your show free, right?
Not that I know of, but wouldn't that be great? I mean, just
maybe you could sneak them into the cast, you know, through the back door.
Yeah, have them dance on stage with us and just add to the flavor of the show.
Are you sold out, or do you have, what do the box office look like? Is any,
I believe that we are sold out for Saturday night's performance, and almost sold out for Friday night's performance, but we did add a Sunday performance that will be discounted for students and senior citizens.
So how long is the show?
The running time is approximately about 2 hours.
And did you cut it back from the original Broadway time?
No. It was run about 2 hours, 2 hours and 15 minutes on Broadway.
Now, you have naked scenes, but no lap dancing?
No lap dancing thus far, yeah, no.
Now, what about the ages of the folks in the show? You're all in your, what, 20s?
Yeah, I mean, the age range runs from 18 on up to, I'd say, 40s at least, maybe, 42, yeah,
and
mid-40s, so yeah, so that age range is pretty wide in there, which I think is great to capture just a lot of different personalities and a lot of, also recognizing that a lot of people that are against war and some of the issues that we're discussing run from the ages of, 18 on up to 16, whatever, and beyond. So,
is there much political activism in the cast, say, independently of the show? For example, yesterday there was a big protest up in San Francisco called the Protest, the Real Axis of Evil, War, Racism, and Poverty. I understand that, 30,000, 40,000, 50,000, so many, lots of, tens of thousands of people showed up there, and then twice that many in Washington, D.C., and I may have my numbers wrong. That's what I remember hearing from my housemate who was up there. Is your cast particularly political in terms of what they actually do? One of my gripes about Santa Cruz, and I was out there walking at the Peace March every Friday, you might not know, there's a sort of a picketing that goes on at Ocean and Water Streets, Ocean Street being the street that leads to the beach boardwalk from the 17, and Water Street intersects at the courthouse, and there are usually about 5 to 20 people picketing the ongoing war against terrorism, whatever country Bush has decided is the culprit at the moment. And there were quite a number of people there on Friday. It's between 5 and 6 for those who want to get involved every Friday. But what about, I didn't see anybody from your cast, except one person came rushing in and said that she was interested in actually, of course, as we were ending the picketing, but generally, is your cast sort of, are you a part of that silent majority that's a little too silent in Santa Cruz? What's going on here?
I can only speak for myself, I guess, because the cast is full of individuals. I think there's everybody from actors who do theater, who I'm not really sure what their political views are, to all kinds of hippies who probably are involved, whether it's silent or vocally. I know for myself, I'm a single mom with two kids, and I do everything I can with them. I have peace painted in the back window of my car, if that does anything. And I didn't know you guys were protesting down there, but I like to be involved as much as I can, as much as I have time for. I feel like there are probably all kinds of varying degrees of involvement, and I think I get really disturbed in general that there isn't more public outcry in the streets with what's going on, because it seems like we have a whole town full of people who know that it's wrong. So,
yeah, we have a city council that has refused to try even debate any resolutions on ending the war, whereas 11, 12 years ago when the invasion of Kuwait happened, or I should say the bombing of Iraq, both, we had literally thousands of people on the streets, blocking the freeways, marching, occupying intersections. Now it's really kind of eerie, kind of ghostly almost. What about announcing from the stage that there is this picket going on every Friday? I mean, I think it's pretty pathetic too that we just announce one picket once a week for an hour and a half. But still, you know, that might be one thing, or perhaps the cast of here could march out and block the freeway. Aha, conspiracy to commit a felony coming up here.
Right.
Yeah, so this is happening at the Rio. It starts at 8 o'clock. You got to have $10, there's a discount, I guess, on Sunday in the matinee performance. Or maybe you could pretend you're walking out as you walk in. That's one of these classic techniques I've always heard about. You get into movie theaters by pretending you're walking, you know, out of the theater, but walk backwards.
There you go.
And,
right.
And I don't think it would work. But I've heard actually people do that. I saw someone get caught trying to do that once. But
I suppose a public outcry could inspire more shows, so people could always ask for more.
Yeah, now you guys are actually, you're not these hardcore, hard-baked actors from Los Angeles. You are local yokels. Would that be fair to say?
Yes, yeah. That's very fair to say.
And yodelers as well, singers. You guys actually do sing in this production, right?
Oh, yeah, there's a lot of singing, there's a lot of dancing, and for myself, though, I do love acting, and I'm originally from San Jose. I've been here about 5 years in Santa Cruz, and I'm moving to New York in 2 months to try my hand at acting, and so I guess I'm going to try
That's
to be,
speaking,
yeah, I'm going to try to do it, and kind of going back to what we were talking about, as far as a political tool, like, I think this show itself is a political tool to get some messages out. Myself, no, I feel like I'm one of those silent people that tends to disagree with certain things, and I'm not always out there protesting. I remember I think for Iraq, the bombing of Iraq, I was at UCSC at the time, and I did protest. I did a little march, but I'm not always out there, so as an actor, being a part of this, I feel I'm sort of helping in my own way as much as I can, and I know this is going to stir up something. I mean, definitely. If not, I mean, the nude scene alone, I have to say, was already stirring up something. And I'm like, come on, it's only a little part of the show. But I definitely was like, look, I'm doing that because that's what they did in the beginning. And I think it's very powerful to get up there and be like, look, this is who we are.
Are you going to invite the audience to join you as they did in the original production?
That I don't know. Gosh, I would be so open to that.
Yeah. I do know that that they're encouraging audience participation in many different forums, and I'm sure that if, you know, people wanted to participate in that way, there would be no objection by the theater or the people that are running the show. And I also think that people are going to be surprised by some of the imagery that we're using is, you know, very updated, and we have more access to multimedia type, you know, production stuff now. So it's not necessarily, although the piece is a period piece based on the Vietnam War, I do believe that there will be some, you know, very modern, updated version of imagery that will be representing what's going on in the world today.
Mm-hmm. We're talking to Tiffany, Carrie, and Tina here on Free Radio about the upcoming production of Hair at the Rio Theater coming up next weekend. So maybe we should have you do a dance number so the radio audience can kind of dance along with us here.
We're already naked right now. I don't know what more they want.
And it's difficult to maintain my professional coolness in this situation, but I am. I'm carrying on here. Let's carry on a little more, though. So what about music? Do you have any particular numbers that you feel that will go over well on the air? I mean, perhaps Fellatio or... something. Do you have any favorites that you want to blast out here? Are any of you doing solos? Are you all chorus members, or what's going on?
Well, yeah, we're mostly chorus members. We have a few small solo parts here and there, on different numbers, but we don't have any full, songs that are just ours to sing. Yeah.
Well, shall I just direct you to sing a song, or would you like to choose your own?
Well, I suppose that we could probably sing something for you. Let's see.
The words, the white boy and the black boys, but I was singing.
Right.
Yeah, you guys are both in that.
Right. I guess we could sing Sodomy. Tiffany knows all the words to that.
You guys know the words.
It's only a week to the show, you guys. Now, come on.
Well, we don't sing.
This is a solo number.
It's not our solo.
Right, and it's not done by us. It's done by a fellow cast member.
So this is your own... Your own approach. Your own interpretation.
Right, yeah.
What you would have done had they made the right choice.
This is a solo that's done by a character named Wolf, and he's played by a guy named Ryan.
And he probably does it much better.
Yeah.
All right, well, tune up and go for it.
Okay.
You ready?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Okay. 1, 2, 3. Sodomy, fellatio. Cunnilingus, pederasty. Father, why do these words sound so nasty? Masturbation can be fun. Join the holy orgy, Kama Sutra.
Bravo! I always get a little cracky at that point. That's great.
That is a high one right there, and that boy does pull it off.
Yeah.
So
pull it off. Is that some sort of double entendre? No.
Oh yeah.
Yeah.
No, it's back in the boys' locker room here in Free Radio Santa Cruz, or the girls' locker room, perhaps. I don't know. We're talking to Tina, Carrie, and Tiffany. And I guess really more to the point, and I want to hear more music if you guys are up for it, if you women are up for it, is I work on issues around civil rights for poor people. And one of the things that impressed me about Hair, although it really was sort of an upper middle class deal, was at that time there was a movement to sort of, a broader social movement to kind of do a little class leveling. And this was in the late 60s. And I'm wondering, has there been any outreach to the homeless community in this whole production? I mean, have you, for example, are you adopting any costumes or garb that homeless people have? Is this located more in another time, another place, another style? I mean, to me, the community of the commune that Hair takes place in is sort of, I mean, I guess it's indoors somewhat, but it's also on the streets, right?
Right.
Yeah. Does it have any connection with the homeless issue in your mind?
I think we're supposed to be homeless.
Right. Well, the entire first act is supposed to be taking place in Central Park in New York, which is where this group of people were living and residing. And the play actually opens with Spare Changing asking for money from some other folks that are walking by.
Of course, you know, in Santa Cruz, it's illegal to ask for spare change after dark.
Yeah, I did know that.
So I'm going to have to make a number of citizens' arrests if I see any such thing happening on the stage.
Oh.
Go ahead. That's my duty.
Yeah, there may be several citizens' arrests during the play. Who knows?
Yeah, that's true. You never know.
Yeah.
So, have any of you or anyone on the cast ever been homeless that you know of? Or?
Well, when I first moved to California, I didn't have a home for approximately the first 3 weeks that I was here. That's not a very extended period of time, but I did camp on the beach, you know. I did camp on the beach, but in state parks, and, you know, I guess that's not really considered quite the same as...
Well, you were legal. I mean, you were
right.
No, I mean, you were homeless, but you weren't without means, I guess.
No, right. I wasn't without means. I had gear and whatnot.
And you wanted to say something?
No, I was just trying to think of anyone in the cast being good. Not me personally. I haven't experienced that, but I'm sure there have been some people in the cast that have experienced that. Could you guys...
I haven't been homeless for any extended period of time, and it was probably more by choice, but I definitely was on Grateful Dead tour and was a hippie and was living out of my car and was living kind of on streets before and not really having a lot of money before. And I've done that in San Francisco. I've done that in Santa Cruz. I've done that around the country. And I know the cast is so diverse. Like I said, there are actors. There are people who I know specifically who have said that they've lived on the streets before. And I know that there are other people from... I know the director, Ed Levy, used to do the same thing that I'm talking about as far as touring around and living out of his car and not having anywhere that he lived before. And, you know, it's just a really diverse group. So there's a huge range.
The other issue that I often get into on this show is the drug war, the war against people in the name of these essentially minority... So racist attack to me on individuals in society through this pharmacological excuse, marijuana, cocaine, hashish, LSD, and, of course, the harder drugs, heroin, crack cocaine, and so forth. But the point is, of course, that the way to deal with abuse, drug abuse, whether it's alcohol abuse or tobacco abuse, which, of course, is subsidized and supported and is much more lethal than any of these other more lurid sorts of drug addiction, is a medical model for my money. Here has some stuff about that. It has stuff about drugs. And what's the attitude of the cast, specifically towards Santa Cruz? I mean, would it be nice to see the cast, for example, light up joints and pass them around the audience, or, you know, make some statements about medical marijuana and the fact that the city has failed to declare a medical marijuana emergency, which essentially criminalizes all the clubs except for one and leaves about 4/5 of the people who need medical marijuana out in the cold. Any chance of the three of you spearheading a smoke-in on the stage? What do you think?
Well, I know there's many references to drugs and different types of drugs and substances in the performances. However, you know, there will be props and things used, but, you know, for legal reasons, I believe that we probably wouldn't be using.
If you have some medical marijuana people with cards, they could actually, you know, medicate themselves on stage. Of course, I suppose... The Rio Theater might frown. Of course, the last performance might be the appropriate. I mean, see, for me, it is, of course, the major, you know, drug arrests, I should say arrests for marijuana, I've increased every year. I don't know if since 1969, but certainly in the last decade they've been increasing. More than 700,000 people last year were in jail for either possessing or selling marijuana, according to normal statistics. Normal had a big shindig up in San Francisco on Thursday. So I'd like to see, I'm always trying to press productions that are kind of vaguely, I don't just mean dramatic productions, but also also political productions, people who are doing kind of politics about issues far away, turn to local issues, because here it's where I think we can make a difference or have a local perspective on focus on affecting the national issues, like the war.
Right.
And I guess, you know, I'm always looking to see that happen with theatrical productions. How is your production contemporary, and how does it address local issues in your view, or does it? I mean, we can be honest and say it doesn't. I mean, I don't mean local issues, I mean contemporary issues, really, is what I'm talking about.
Right. Well, I don't know if I would say that it necessarily addresses local issues, but definitely I think it probably, like I said before, through the images that we're going to be projecting, will address some of the broader national issues that are going on in the world today.
Can we get you to do another number? that's a chorus number. How about? I don't know. Start with Good Morning Starshine and then sig you into LBJ if you want. I don't know.
Well, that's a lot.
Choose one.
All right.
Okay.
Sure, why not?
Which one do you guys want to do?
Let's start with, I really want to do White Boys, but I don't know all the names.
Right.
Where's that?
All right, well. LBJ and then decide if we want something else.
Alright, so this is going to be LBJ. This is the song LBJ, yeah.
Okay.
Okay, ready?
One, two, three. LBJ took the IRT down to 4th Street, USA. When he got there, what did he see? The youth of America on LSD. LBJ, IRT, USA, LSD, LBJ, IRT, FBI, CIA, FBI, CIA, LSD, LBJ.
That was really hard to do with both parts, male parts and female parts.
Right. We're used to doing it with the males as well, so it may have seemed a little off.
Yeah. What's the hardest song to sing in here?
Oh. Wow. You mean like vocally the hardest the most trying?
Well, I'd say either or both of those, yeah.
Gosh. I don't know. I don't really think that any of them are really, like, at least for me, I don't really find any of them really that difficult. They're just, they're really pieced out, you know, really well between the men and the women vocally, so it doesn't really pull a lot of strain, I think, on, you know, some of the solo numbers are definitely harder. Like, there's a song called Easy to Be Hard, and that is probably one of the more difficult pieces in the production.
Which you're about to perform, or?
Oh, no.
What I wanted to say about that one is if you've seen the movie version, the woman just belted out, and I have always wondered how they would manage to top that or match that, and I just have to say that Lindsay does a damn good job.
Yeah. Lindsay Chester, she plays Sheila, and she's one of the main characters, and she sings that song, Easy to Be Hard.
And the cast is about 40 people?
Yeah, it's somewhere between 40 and 45, I think.
It's rather large.
Yeah, it's a large cast.
How about the title song? Any chance of hearing that one?
Oh, you know, we're going to save that one because Sister Monica is going to be opening the show with Aquarius, and so none of us would be able to compete with that voice.
Well, I don't mean that. I don't mean Aquarius. I mean here.
Oh, okay, yeah. Well, we might be able to do that.
Do we know all the words? There are pieces that different people sing different parts of that song. Do you guys know all the words to that?
I think I probably do, yeah. I think I do.
So hum along if you...
Okay. Yeah. All right.
Okay. Do you want to start it?
Do you want to be Burger?
Okay. Okay, now keep in mind this is supposed to be sung by a male, George Burger, and his name is Brandon. Okay. She asked me why I'm just a hairy guy. I'm hairy noon and night. Hair, that's a fright. I'm hairy high and low. Don't ask me why. Don't know. It's not for lack of bread. Like the Grateful Dead. Darling. Give me a head with hair, long, beautiful hair, shining, gleaming, streaming, flaxen, waxen. Give me down to there, hair, shoulder length or longer, here, baby, there, mama, everywhere, daddy, hair, 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 flowing. it, show it, long as God can grow it, my hair. I'll let it fly in the breeze and get caught in the trees. Give a home to the fleas in my hair. A home for the fleas,
yes.
A hive for the buzzing bees, a nest for birds, there ain't no words for the beauty, the splendor, the wonder of my hair, 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 hair. Flow it, show it, long as God can grow it, my hair. I want it long, straight, curly, fuzzy, snaggy, shaggy, ratty, matty, oily, greasy, fleecy, shining, gleaming, streaming, flaxen, waxen, knotted, polka-dotted, twisted, beaded, braided, powdered, flowered, and confettied, bangled, tangled, spangled, and spaghetti. Woo! Oh, say, can you see my eyes? If you can, then my hair's too short. Down to here, down to there, I want hair, down to where it stops by itself. They'll be gaga at the go-go when they see me in my toga. My toga made of blonde, brilliant, eating biblical hair. My hair like Jesus wore it, hallelujah, I adore it, hallelujah. Mary loved her son, why don't my mother love me? Blow it, show it, long as God can grow it. My hair, 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 hair. Blow it, show it, long as God can grow it.
Wow! Bravo!
All right. I like it, I like it. Wow, I have to go to the show, I guess. I'm going to work out some money. We've been talking with Tina, Carrie, and Tiffany here. They're at the... They're going to be part of the production. They are part of the production of Hair, which is going into its last week of ultimate final last rehearsals before it blasts off onto the stage at the Rio, what, 8 o'clock Friday night?
Yeah, that'll be our first performance.
And then 8 o'clock Saturday and then...
Yeah, 8 o'clock on Saturday and 6 o'clock on Sunday, and they're doing a pre-show on Friday and Saturday, which starts at 7, and that'll feature some local musicians and artists' work.
Huh. And are you going to be putting out a CD, perhaps?
Oh, no. I don't think our budget allows for that, yeah.
Well, we've already got some clips here, you know, that we're going to, of course, be marketing. You know,
sure,
Santa Cruz.
Right, yeah.
Hey, I really appreciate your coming into the studio. Is there stuff that you want to, you know, talk about yourselves that I haven't covered that you think might be not just hair-related, but... I mean, I'm also interested, and I often have guests here talking about their experiences with the police in Santa Cruz, or they've had good or bad experiences with if they've been homeless, how they've been treated, how they find homeless people. And I, of course, have been trying to encourage the retention of public spaces downtown. I don't know if you've heard about the controversy about Sushi Now and Alibaba's Cafe and New Leaf Market.
Yeah, I
know
about
that. The fenced-in area that has now become a private zone. And it's really kind of abandoned at night, although I guess it depends on the night you go down there. It varies. Feel free to express any opinions, not necessarily representing any, you know, other production members, but just yourselves, on any of these issues. For example, the sleeping ban. You know, we have, of course, the law in Santa Cruz criminalizes homeless people after 11 o'clock at night. If you fall asleep, it's illegal. If you cover up with a blanket, it's illegal. If you sleep in your own vehicle, even if it's legally parked and legally registered to you, it's illegal unless you're in somebody else's driveway, and then you can only do it for 3 days. Any chance of Hair doing a benefit performance for the homeless? We have a Right to Sleep Summit coming up. We'd like to get...
You know, I think that'd be really great. I mean, I'm not sure because I'm not part of the production team, but I'd be willing to do that. I think that sounds like a great idea.
Yeah.
I mean, why not?
We could talk to them about
great.
It.
Great. I'd appreciate that.
Yeah, we would definitely have to talk with the production, you know. It's not a decision that we would be able to make. We'd have to talk with the production team about something like that. But I know that they, you know, would be willing to, you know, they're willing to go out into the public and do performances for all sorts of different things if they were petitioned to do so.
Mm-hmm. I mean, it'd be nice to have it at San Lorenzo Park, outdoors.
Yeah, there was actually talk of us going up there and doing something today for Earth Day, but today is going to be a very hectic day for our cast. We're moving into the theater today and doing a bunch of technical stuff, so it's going to be kind of a tough day for us to get up there. But doing something outdoors is definitely something of interest, I think, to the entire cast.
Well, maybe we can try to hijack a few of you. We have a Right to Sleep Summit coming up in May. I guess it'll be the weekend after your production, May 3rd through 5th. And that's when we're going to be gathering homeless activists from across the coast, up and down the coast, I should say, across the country, and is a little optimistic, but trying to figure out if we have enough critical mass to do a summer campaign against the sleeping ban, which might involve civil disobedience, might involve a mass protest, might involve sing-ins, sleep-ins, dance-ins, smoke-ins, who knows? Clothing optional ins, what you will. And you better put on your clothes before you leave the studio, though.
Okay, yeah.
Yeah.
Well, that's my bra over there.
Okay, yeah. No. I want to keep that as a souvenir, if you don't mind. Hey, appreciate your coming in, and is there more that you want to sing about or talk about? Perhaps another song? Or have you suffered enough? I certainly haven't. I'm enjoying myself.
But no, what I wanted to just mention also was the spirituality aspect of the show, which is, it's really, that's something we just didn't really touch on, and I know there's a lot of that in the show, Hare Krishnas, and at one point we're talking about, or we sing about all the different deities, and maybe you think it's during the Bien that we also mention people are mocking and singing Marijuana, Marijuana, and we overcome with the spiritual chant, Hare Krishna, instead of the Marijuana.
Is this a change from the original show? Or?
Yes, it is. And I don't want to quote Ed, but I remember him saying something about reality being the best drug, or something about spirituality overcoming... what the tribe is trying to find is this guru and this god, and they look to Berger, who is the leader of the tribe, but they're really kind of lost in this haze, and they use all these drugs to try to find something that should already be there, that really isn't there. And I just thought that was really interesting, and how, I know we didn't mention that, but there is a lot of spirituality in it. There's a lot of questioning of whether drugs actually, on the drug issue, on whether drugs actually can satisfy the soul and satisfy something that everyone's trying to find within themselves, and by going to this other place and this other reality and this other dimension through the hallucinations of all the drugs, all the different drugs that we mentioned.
Of course, there are those of us who are elderly and who were around in the older days when this was going on, who would say that you're not talking about hallucinations, you're talking about insights you get that, in fact, are part of certain native religions, and that are part of the use of drugs like peyote and... other mescaline, other drugs that are taboo, and that, obviously can be abused and misused, LSD, but that have become pariah drugs based upon a mentality, and actually, as I said, in my view, it's a sort of a racist mentality that is also a lifestyle mentality that says that only one particular perspective and approach is the way to go.
I was just going to say, I don't think it's supposed to be necessarily anti-drugs, but maybe just questioning what people are doing, what drugs for. I mean, there's such a variety of drugs, isn't there, as far as what people are taking and how they're using it. And definitely marijuana or all kinds of different things can be used to enhance your spirituality or to take away from it, I think, just depending on who's using it and how and why. Definitely hallucinations can be insights and enlightenment as well. And I think all different aspects of that kind of tend to come out in the show. I was just thinking about some of the things that you were saying about Santa Cruz, and just in general, having been in Santa Cruz, I've only lived here for the past 10 years or so, but I've been sad by a lot of the changes that I've seen as far as downtown and as far as things being more upscale and less friendly to the people that I know and love as family in this town, being able to afford to even live here at all, many people having to move away, not being welcome, whether it's at the farmer's market or wherever. And I don't think that the people running the show realize that that's a large part of what makes Santa Cruz what Santa Cruz is, and that they really shouldn't change it as much
running
as they
the
are.
Running the show or running here?
running the whole town.
I was going to suggest you take over the production and demand equal time for these issues.
Yeah. I believe that one of the biggest travesties of Santa Cruz is the affordable housing, you know, problem that we have here, and that the blue-collar worker can't even manage to ever think about buying a home in this town is just ridiculous. It's, you know, I own a small business here locally, and I can barely afford to pay rent sometimes, and I just think that's just ludicrous. I'm supposed to be, you know, I'm trying to give back to the community in some ways, and at the same time, I don't know if I'll ever be able to buy a home here, and it may drive me out of this town eventually, and that's sad.
Do you all intend to be staying here, or are you looking to other places? I guess New York is where you're headed, Tina.
Yeah, definitely. I'll be there like 2 months.
Which maybe one of the few markets that's even worse than Santa Cruz, though.
Yeah.
Actually,
yeah.
Santa Cruz is supposed to be the worst in the country in terms of the amount of money you make as compared to the rents.
Right.
Although New York, I guess, may, you know, try to live in Manhattan, you know.
Sure.
Kiss your ass goodbye, sort of.
Yeah.
Pretty much.
I would like to stay in Santa Cruz if I felt like I was able to afford it. I just don't know if it's, once I have children, if that'll be a viable option for me, money-wise, anyway.
By the way, for any of those listening, before these three dash off into the day, there is a phone line. You can call in and ask a question or two if you have any questions for the cast of Hair or a representatives thereof. 427-3772, 427-FRSC for Free Radio Santa Cruz is the phone number to call in, 427-3772, if you got any questions, and we will forward those questions to the gang here. But you got to call fast, because we've held them captive here, and they're getting a little chilly. You know, got to put on something and get back to work. Or perhaps, I guess, are you going to be rehearsing today? Is that the deal?
Yeah, we are going to be rehearsing today, as well as helping out with the move-in at the theater.
Well, you know, I really appreciate your coming in, and
thanks for having us.
Yeah, we appreciate coming in.
Hey, and of course I'm going to demand a hug, which of course you could refuse, but
no refusal.
All right, well, I'll take one of those hugs.
we're a loving tribe.
Yeah, definitely.
Hey, I wish you were here. These are great hugs. I got to tell you. And. I think I'll get Tina as she heads for the door here.
Be safe there.
So you're tuned to Free Radio Santa Cruz 96.3. Here's a little something to tide you over, and it may be familiar to some of you.
Roy Conn, Juan Perón, Tuscanini, Dacron, Gin, Foo, Johnny Ride.